Good morning, everybody. It's my joy to bring the word today, and thank you for all coming. God is so good, isn't he? So good to us. I love being in church. And I just want to reiterate some of the lines in the worship songs were so applicable to the message today. Is just, we stand in awe of you, God. It's all about him. And take my heart. Take my heart, Lord. Take my life. That's where it all begins. And there's no looking back after that, right? Amen? So I just want to come humbly before you this morning. Try and forget about me and listen to what God is saying to each one of us this morning. I believe that he's really helped me with this scripture. Thank you, InFaith, for reading so beautifully. So you may be asking yourself, what on earth does this scripture have to do with me? Maybe you've already checked out. Either because you're a guy and you think it's all about women, or maybe because you're single and you think it's all about married people. But I really ask you to stay listening. Please, as there will be something for everyone, I hope, to take home here. Sometimes we receive teaching before we need it, and it prepares us. So if you're a single person today, then that's you. Sometimes we receive teaching while we're going through something. If you're married today, then that's you. Sometimes we receive teaching after we've gone through something and we've made a whole bunch of mistakes. But you know, our God is redemptive. I want you to hear that this morning. We fail forward with him helping us. So I hope that pretty much covers everybody, so that I've got your ear now. I'm drawing you in. So just starting with the scripture now that's been read to us, and all we know that all scripture is God breathed or the inspiration of God. So it's beneficial for us all today, right? So what we're essentially trying to do is to bridge the context from the first century through to the 21st century. And this isn't just old teaching. This is relevant for us today if we really study it and ask God, what are you saying through this message? So we've been looking at a book written, it's actually a letter written by Peter, who was one of Jesus' disciples. Peter was a man who was passionate about God. He was passionate about following Christ. He was the one who walked on water. Remember that? He was the radical one. He was the one when Jesus asked him, "So who do you say I am?" And he said, "You are the Christ." He was the one who, unfortunately, denied Christ, even at the time when Jesus probably needed his support the most. But we can learn from this that even the mighty make mistakes. From our recent week's messages, we now know that Peter wrote this letter to the early church that was scattered around what we now know as modern-day Turkey. The church was being persecuted for their faith, and Rome had come down hard on anyone who was a follower of Christ's teachings. So Peter wrote this letter to them to encourage them in the trials they were suffering. And as we heard from the first session that Richard brought to us, that they were hunted down and they were tortured, these Christians, these new believers, followers of Christ. They were hunted down, tortured, and they were killed for their belief in Jesus. The circumstances they were facing were extremely difficult and very unfair. Last week we heard about coping with unfair circumstances, how we should respond And the take-home point you might remember if you were here was, trust your unjust situation to God and he will blow your mind. So trust God with your unfair circumstances. At some point in our lives, we're all going to find ourselves under unfair circumstances, or what we perceive to be unfair circumstances. So how do we respond to this? When our Christian worldview is met with criticism, abuse, or misunderstanding, we may even lose our job or our name gets slandered because of our stand on an issue as a Christian. So how do we respond? Maybe we react like this guy.
It was the wrong inside.
The ball chopped him up all over.
No, it was a bit of a spread, Mr. McEnroe. That was a good call.
Excuse me?
Look,
you can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious. That ball was on the line. Chalk flew up.
All right, it was a bit hard to hear the dialogue, but the key line was, you cannot be serious. And I think all of us have gone through unfair times where we've thought, what? You cannot be serious. So maybe that's been our reaction. So my title for this message is, Don't Lose It. None of us like being told that we're wrong, right? I'll put my hand up. Maybe you are in the right. But as a wise old pastor once said, it's not about whether you're right. It's about how you respond. That's what God is looking at. He knows what's right, but he's watching how we respond when we're in the right and we're experiencing unfair circumstances. Nobody likes being told what to do. Put my hand up again. We hate it. We've always hated it. Right from the beginning, when Adam was told by God and Eve, you can have anything, you can eat anything, you can have any fruit from the garden, but don't eat the fruit from that tree. You can have everything else, not just that one. So what did they do? If it was me, I probably would have done the same thing. In fact, I do regularly do that. When God says, don't do that, and we go and do that. We don't want to be told by God. We don't want to be told by the authorities, the police. We don't want to be told by parents, school teachers. Ouch. Even we don't want to be told which public bathroom to use. If you've been watching the news lately, there's a whole bunch of people that don't want to be told you must go to that bathroom or that one. No, we want that one. So it's a human condition of our heart that we do not like being told what to do. So this whole book is about the breaking of our rebellion and of our submission to Christ. Maybe you've picked up on that theme already, but I want to draw that your attention to that. It was a wild and stormy night on the high seas. Get that picture in your mind. The captain of a ship looked out on the ocean into the dark and stormy night. And to his horror, straight ahead of him, he saw faint lights. Immediately, he told his signalman to send a message to what he thought was the opposing vessel. Send this message. Alter your course by 10 degrees south. Promptly, a return message was received. Alter your course 10 degrees north. The captain was angered. His command had been ignored. So he sent a second message. Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am the captain. Soon, another message was received back. Alter your course 10 degrees north. I am Seaman, Third Class Jones. Immediately, the captain sent a third message. Knowing the fear it would evoke, this would get some action. Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am a battleship. Then the reply came. Alter your course 10 degrees north. I am a lighthouse. This morning we're going to talk about submission. It's a topic that no one wants to talk about, and mainly because nobody understands it. So I'm hoping that I'm going to be able to help you, and maybe like that ship, it might save your life in some circumstances. So, Infe read our scripture this morning, and when reading any passage from the Bible, we must look at the context. In the lead up to these verses, Peter has been writing about honoring authority. And we heard from Pastor Weong in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Then we heard as a lead up to our passage today that Peter refers to Christ as our example as he bore our sins on the cross. So now chapter 3 begins with wives, likewise. That little word is very important. Likewise means in the same way. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Now you have to understand that this is the early church, and when many were coming into the faith in the early days, it was inevitable that one marriage partner might come to believe in Christ whilst the other remained unmoved by the gospel. So some, when they've looked at this passage, think, oh, this is only just about wives that don't have husbands that know Christ. But if you look at the other small words in this passage that say, even if some do not obey the word. So if I read that again, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word. So I think we can safely assume this is for all wives, this passage, not just those with unsaved husbands. It was much harder for women and men than men in those days. For if a man believed in Christ, if he came to Christ first, it was okay for him to take his wife to church. Not so the other way round. In every area of ancient civilization, a woman had no rights at all. We know that from previous weeks. She was owned by her husband the same way he owned his sheep and his goats. He could dismiss her at any moment, but she could never leave him. For her to change her religion while her husband did not was unthinkable. It was difficult for us to imagine what life was like for the woman who was brave enough to become a Christian before her husband. So before we define what submission is, we must recognize what submission is not. And I want you to hear this, and this may open up your eyes to this precious word. Submission is not agreeing with everything for the sake of peace. Submission is not giving in accompanied by a resentful heart. Submission is not being a doormat or enduring physical or emotional abuse. Submission is not manipulating to get your own way. It's not trying to change your husband. I like to think of submission as coming under the mission. Sub is a little word prefix to the word that means to come under. Submarine, right? Subway. Yes, subway. Subway, under the way. So submission for me is coming under the mission and under the mission of God, Father God's mission. If you think of it that way, then it's actually a wonderful thing to have in your life. So under Father God's mission firstly, and then to those in authority over us. You see, my husband is the head of our home. She said that. He is. But hear me, we have equal value under God. That doesn't make me less value in God's eyes and in his eyes. We have equal value as the scripture speaks to it. There is mutual respect between us. Yes, sometimes we disagree. But rare are the times that I've had to let him make the final call. And that's really when submission kicks in. Is when you've had a healthy discussion. And at the end of mutually respecting each other, someone has to make a call. That's when submission needs to happen. Not constantly being overrun by somebody and put under by somebody. No, no, no. It's really only necessary when you disagree. So wives, Peter tells us something very simple. Not easy, but simple. Just be a good wife. So the passage again, I'll read it out again. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, and we've spoken about that, they without a word. Ooh, now that's hard, because we have so many words. And I know that you will agree with that, men. We have so many words. Without a word. You know, there's a saying that says, sometimes actions speak louder than words. It's not always a good time to speak. So without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. How do you conduct yourself? It's a good question for all of us to ask ourselves. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Now, that's not fear of your husband. That's fear, reverential fear of the Lord. We all need to be walking in reverential fear of the Lord and making sure that we are conducting ourselves in a way that pleases him. Do not let your adornment, that's what you put on, be merely outward. Again, merely is a really important word there. Of course, it's okay. I've got earrings on and makeup and I like to look nice. But it's the merely word. If you're using purely external to win your husband over, then you're going to run into trouble. Because true beauty starts from the heart and it works outward. It's not the other way round. You can't have a beautiful heart by putting on lots of good gear. Rather, let the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. I think that speaks for itself. It's true beauty starts from the heart. So how can we do this? Peter is saying that by the silent preaching of the loveliness of her life, the barriers of prejudice and hostility would be broken down, and that her husband too would come to the Lord. Or if your husband is saved, that God can work a softness in him. This kind of loveliness can only come from the Lord as he molds us into his daughters. He said, bring lots of stories. Because Richard had lots of stories last week about his interesting journey and coming under God's leadership. And I don't have lots of stories. I'm a quieter person. But anyway, I will share one with you. When I first came to Every Nation, I was already a mother of four children, and I was very ingrained in a lot of my ungodly beliefs and junk and stuff that I'd carried with me from house to house and from church to church, I guess you might say. And in coming to Every Nation, I encountered this thing called discipleship. And I'd never been discipled before. I just kind of got there somehow by the grace of God and with the word of God and trying to make my own way. And people had prayed over me and that. But discipleship, no. And so I found myself being a little bit sort of corrected one time in my thinking by a wonderful woman whom I'm very grateful that God put her in my life. But the statement that was said to me at this time when I was trying to work something through with her was, at the end, obviously, I was coming back at her a lot, as we do. And what she said over me challenged me immensely. And it was, you're very defensive. And that shut me up, shut my mouth. And I had to go to God with that, because no one had ever challenged me like that before. And it was very good for me. I didn't like it. I must be honest with you, my initial reaction was, I didn't ask you. So here's your lovely, precious Pastor Chris. Yes, I have moments like that. I didn't ask you. Yeah, go out. Okay. But I took it to God because I didn't want to disappoint God. And I thought, well, this is true, then somehow I'm going to have to deal with this, Lord. So I went down on my knees and I said, God, this is what she said about me. Is that true? And I've told this to a few people. God always calls me dear when he talks to me, which is very precious. And he didn't even hesitate. Yes, dear. What? Oh, I was thinking he might just kind of give an excuse. Well, you know, she's that, I don't know. Oh, yes, dear. Okay. All right. Okay. So I had to deal with my attitude, and I had to give that to God, and I needed to change. And that's not easy when you're coming into your 40s. And thinking, okay, I thought I had it sorted. So I share that with you just so that you can see that I'm not Mrs. Perfect. Proverbs 11 verse 16 says, a gracious woman attains honor. Proverbs 12 verse 4 says, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband. But she who shames him is like rottenness in his bones. That's pretty ugly, isn't it? Right, we've given the wives a bit of talking to. Let's talk to the husbands now, because this is actually about you as well. And I come to you very humbly, and I hope that you will still love me afterwards. Verse 7 says, husbands, likewise, there's that word again, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. So if husbands are not called to submit to their wives, then why is there a likewise? husbands likewise. What's that there for? First Peter is a book that's calling us all to humility. So that's why the likewise is there. No matter what position you hold in life, everyone is called to submit to someone. Here, Peter is calling husbands to be understanding and to honor their wives, reminding them that we all have equal value in the sight of God as heirs together of the grace of life. Husbands are not called to lord over their wives, but to come under the Lord. All throughout the Bible, God reveals his plan for this order. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." This is a huge expectation, isn't it? And would be impossible without him firstly being submitted to Christ. In order to lead, we must first know how to follow. Christ is the head of the husband. And also he's the head of the wife. But can you imagine in a marriage, you can't have two heads, or you have a monster. Okay? And that's what it's like often. It's a monster. There's no way around it. So that's why God said, I have an order here. And if we will allow him to work under that order, he will help us to not have the monster in our home, but to have a beautiful, lasting marriage. So husbands, how do you lead? Model Christ-likeness in your behavior. How do you become like Christ? I'm glad you asked. By spending time with him. How can you be like someone unless you spend time with them? Study the Word of God and pray. And you're thinking, oh, I've heard that before. Well, just about everything leads back to the same thing. You might have noticed that. There's no new recipe for getting through this. You need God to lead your families. Proverbs 14 verse 29 says, "Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly or foolishness." We can only lead out of who we are, which leads me to the next part of my message, which is really the crux of the whole thing. The more that I have let God in to love me, heal me, shape and correct my ungodly beliefs around who I am, my identity, the more content I am to submit to God's leadership and not to fight. I hope you got that. It's about who we are. And that's going to make us into better leaders, into better husbands, better wives. I need to let him be my advocate, the one that fights for me, my defender, my stronghold. It's not my will, my works, and my opinion that matters. All things are subject to him if indeed he is Lord. But many of us are like spiritual orphans without allowing God to raise us as sons and daughters. We rob ourselves of God's inheritance, which are the promises he's given to us for our life, our family, our calling. Our inheritance will be delayed until we learn obedience. from the things that we suffer by becoming his son or his daughter. When we really know what it means to be God's son or God's daughter, we can fully trust him in any circumstance. So my take home for you today is true submission to Christ will bring change. True submission to Christ will bring change. I am a living testimony of that statement. I know it works. Shandy, could you come up, love, and play the keys, wherever you are? Is she around? Shandell, over here. Wow. So when we begin this journey, God helps us to be humble. And he gives us the ability to prefer one another, whether it's in your workplace or wherever you're struggling with this. But in a marriage, he gives us the ability to give preference to our husband, preference to our wife, putting them first, honoring them, praising them, thanking them. Sometimes it doesn't come naturally, but we have to initiate our will and partner with God to change the way we are responding. Not easy, but with God all things are possible. And if we are truly submitted to him, he will help you with your responses. Wives begin to change their approach from coming to their husbands in fear like I used to. Fear and tears was how I dealt with most of my issues in the early days of our marriage. Until I learned to come to my husband in faith, prayed up, ready, in a non-emotional moment, ready to present something to him that was bothering me without the floods of tears, without a high-pitched voice and everything else that goes with that. And I put that thing to the test to see if it would work. It was something I learned in a book that I'd read. And I thought, okay, I'm going to try this. Because what I was doing wasn't working, quite frankly. And it worked. A non-emotional moment. Presenting what was bothering me in a calm way. In faith, expecting my husband to hear me. That's what faith is, having expectation. And as I did that, whoa, lo and behold, he heard me. So different. So there's a little practical tip for you. Husbands will stop controlling their wives, lording over them with harshness, frustration, and anger. Also being motivated by faith and honoring them with love. We have a wonderful DVD series that's been run in a Connect group. And if you want to know more about it, it's called Love and Respect. And it's based on a scripture that speaks about husbands loving your wives, Christ loved the church, husbands loving your wives, thank you. As Christ loved the church, and wives respecting your husband. So the two have to work together, otherwise you have the monster. So if you want to know more about that Connect group, please come and see me. It's very good. Galatians 2:20, and I'll finish with this scripture. It's not up on the wall, sorry. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I would like us to pray now. And so just close your eyes and I'll just give a little preempt to my prayer. Let's just still ourselves before the Lord. I know he wants to minister to us this morning, and I'm really trusting the Holy Spirit to do that. There are those who are having difficulty submitting to any of God's ordered authority over them. It could be God himself. Help me, God, to submit to you. It could be in a marriage. It could be your boss. It could be a parent. Governing authorities, teachers. Maybe you're at the end of your rope, or something's going to snap soon. Maybe you feel battered emotionally, spiritually, and are tired of fighting. The thing with God is that he'll always fight for you if you let him. He can't change anything until we get out of the way. We need to pray and release it into his hands, and he will always bring good out of every situation if you partner with his purpose. He is far greater than anything the devil can throw at us. So if that's you, I just want you to pray in your head, just in your heart, as I pray this prayer. Dear Lord, I humbly come before you, submitting to your authority in my life. I recognize you as my Lord and my Master. I know you have the best interests for me at heart, and you have the best plan for my life. Please forgive me for resisting your authority and for rejecting those you have placed in authority over me. I pray you would bless them with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Help me to look for ways to bless them. Help me to submit to you, so that you can bring about a change in my situation. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you so much for listening. If you are in a unique situation that might require added counseling or help, please come and chat. I'll be down here. If you want to come and have prayer, I'm more than happy to pray with you. So God bless you, and thank you for listening, and have a great day.